So I said earlier that Steiner said the relationship between the teacher and the student is the social structure of the school, and we're bringing in experts who cost a lot of money and who have to come many, many times and set up parent-teacher committees and committees with the children on them, how to take care of bullying and things like that, because there's no relationship there. The teachers aren't making a relationship with the children. Who is it who looks after a child? The guardian angel. If the guardian angel is not allowed in that classroom, if the guardian angel is being pushed away because there's not a relationship, yeah, the children are at risk. Things are going to happen. Bullying or worse. Children are now going to be receiving training in how to deal with an intruder, in how to grab a gun away from somebody, in how to tackle someone, whatever. Because that's how far away these angels have stepped now. And that has to really do with our lack of trying to imagine what a relationship between a teacher and a class can be. So this is our, this is where it's so important to go back, not to get stuck in 1919, but at least to get some idea of what Steiner actually said at the very beginning. And the simplicity of it, as well as the tremendous complexity of all of the things he expected the teachers to be able to do, but how so much of it had to do with the spiritual development of a teacher, not before they start teaching, but what they open themselves up to, how they allow themselves to be touched and moved by fairy tales, what the stories of saints and fables do to the teachers' own moral life, own characterological development, how returning again to the third cultural epoch and studying stories of the Hebrew scriptures, how this affects teachers. There are teachers who've told me that they hated that year more than anything they've done in their life. That it's the most horrible experience to have to read the Bible because of all the associations they had with Sunday school or the dogmatism of the Catholic Church or what a rabbi told them once or something like that. You're dealing with yourself. You're dealing with the deepest issues in your life. And this is a way of doing it without having to go to, you know, 12-step groups or weekend past life regression seminars and things like that. You are also working through your own earlier incarnations. Okay, now let's go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Early on, the teachers are meeting Thursday afternoon, having a faculty meeting. It's still warm. Their windows are wide open. Why do they meet Thursday afternoons? Because the children are out on religious release. So all of the Protestant children, all of the Catholic children have gone off, and Lutheran ministers, Catholic priests have picked them up, and they're in the church getting lessons or whatever building they use. Few Jewish children, but their parents are all anthroposophists, so they're, you know, pretty secular. And a number of workers' children are there as well, because the workers are communists. They're free thinkers. They don't believe in God, or they don't care anymore about the church. So you actually have a kind of group of children out there. I call them the Waldorfans. You know, when the teachers meet, now nobody's watching them. So they're out there playing in a courtyard right below the office in which the teachers, the classroom in which the teachers are meeting, starting to make a lot of noise. Group of boys, and the teacher shouts out, "Be quiet down there." "Yes, sir." The noise comes back, redoubled. "Be quiet." Quiet for a minute, and then they start screaming, hollering. Something sounds like something's broken down there. One of the teachers said, "That's it." He runs down. The kids see him. They all run away in different directions, but there's one boy who's kind of slow. He's running off. The teacher catches him. Well, the next day, Emil Moltke calls the workers together. He said, when I told you about the school that we were going to start, you asked me, will the children be treated the way they are by the Prussian schoolmasters? Will they be beaten if they seem stupid? And I said, no, there will be no corporal punishment in this school. I am sorry, my promise was broken. Yesterday, a teacher spanked a child. There was shock. Everybody's looking at one another. Whose child? Whose child? And Malt said, however, I want you to know, it was my son, Walter. So that was that. And with that, then, came indirectly out of that, parents asking Rudolf Steiner, could you start religion lessons for our children? And you'd think Steiner would say, you know, what am I, like Judge Judy or something? Whatever, you know, you got a problem? Oh, Steiner will start something, don't worry. He said, absolutely, yes. Another question he was waiting for. So Thursday afternoons, he tells the teachers, we're going to have religion lessons. You, Dr. Hahn, Herbert Hahn, you're in charge of it. But Dr. Steiner, and you will do this, you know, no objections, listen to, it's starting, and we'll start, we'll just start reading scripture and you will give lessons. One man said to Steiner, he came up to him afterwards, he said, I'm terrified speaking before groups. I work with my hands, you know, I'm the woodwork teacher here. That's what you told me to do, that's good. I don't have to talk. He said, do what you can do. So he stood before the children to give a lesson. It was from the book of Matthew, I think, one of the books about finding the coin in the fish. He was paralyzed, and the children are kind of sitting there getting very anxious, nervous. What's this guy going to do? He turns around, and he starts from memory to reproduce a Raphael design for a tapestry with this scene. And this becomes the invention of the Waldorf blackboard drawing. Out of necessity, the mother of invention, which you must do a blackboard drawing. Every, you know, Rudolf Steiner said. and this man then, people started photographing these, thank goodness, and you can get postcards at the Goetheanum with his whole collection, which is an amazing collection of copies of the great masters of biblical scenes. And then he started doing others and taught the other teachers how to do this. So this is one after effect of the religion lessons. But Steiner said, however, we can't just give religion lessons. You don't just kind of give people lessons. The Catholics expect their children to show up on Sunday Mass. The Lutheran minister expects them to show up for the services. We have to have services as well. But what Lutheran minister is going to come and lead a service here for us? You are going to be leading the services, dear friends, all of you. You're going, the men will wear black suits, the women will wear black dresses, white shirts, black ties, black suits, all in black for the women. And I will ask the spiritual world for services that you can do with the children. And in Europe, this is still very common, very, very common. In the United States, probably for at least the past 20 years, I do not believe there's any American school, or do you know of one? Well, okay, I was going to say Camp Hill. Harlemville may still do it, yeah, may still, but it's very, very rare. I was at Green Meadow the very last year it was done, and I got to be a server because nobody else wanted to do it. There was tremendous animosity at the holier-than-thou anthroposophists, as they were described to me, who had really made Green Meadow into a very strong school. They all were fired or left the year before I came. And little did they know what they were getting when I came, from bad to worse. But anyway, they had brought the religion work with them, and nobody wanted it anymore. And what did they say? The Jewish parents don't like it, won't have it. The reality is there were a lot of Jewish kids going to those services, actually, and the parents were grateful. So what was happening here? Teachers become priests every Sunday. Teachers who in their past life were very possibly monks. Get it out of your system in an appropriate place. Don't treat the children like they're your parishioners and like you're the Pope. You know, thou shalt not call out and not raise your hand, child. You know, thou shalt not dress sloppily. It's this kind of very strong, often priestly, monkish quality that Waldorf teachers are very capable of, having observed hundreds at work. I can attest to that. Here was a place where you could be a monk, a priest for a day, and in a good way, and speak words that were totally in tune with the modern age, and yet which would still speak to your own deep, deep religiosity, your vow of really sustaining the relationship between the earth and the spiritual world. Now you could do it. So this was a gift to the teachers, at least as much to the children. And it all came out of a disciplinary problem that the children were running amok because they didn't have anywhere to go on Thursday afternoon, and the teachers couldn't look after them because they were too busy meeting. And what comes out of this? One of the pillars of Waldorf education. So here I've described three pillars where Steiner said, no question, eurythmy, the school doctor, and the third leg of the tripod or the stool, religion lessons and religious services, none of which are going on in any degree, really, in the United States, all of which have disappeared or are disappearing. And we wonder why Waldorf schools are having such huge problems. And basically, just find ways of pushing out children who are problems. So that we have, and finally, in eighth grade, of four wonderful golden children. You know, especially sixth grade, a lot of kids leave, and many of them leave because of behavior issues. And this is where Steiner says, this is where it gets interesting. Problems like this, this boy running away, the teacher's behavior, spanking him impulsively, this is where the spiritual world is speaking to us, right here. It's got to break through because things are so dense and we're all so blind and deaf and dumb today. It has to take extreme measures and kind of shake us as educators to realize, try something else. Be innovative. Use your imagination more. Are you doing your practices? Are you doing your spiritual exercises? Are you loving the children? Are they loving you? These are the questions Steiner would ask the teachers and the children. Always about love. And if they didn't love a teacher, woe unto that teacher. Why don't the children love you? So I was always very, very careful with my class. I'd say, you know, if I have a visitor coming in, the first thing you say is, you know, good morning, Mr. Whoever it is. We love our teacher. Repeat after me. They were great. Okay, so just a little bit more, and then we're going to, you know, I want to have some time for conversations, too. So just, again, some of the things that Steiner had to deal with here. Let's go back to this 1907-1909 period where he wanted to start the Waldorf school and nobody asked him, or start a school, nobody asked him. Had he started that school, you'd have something like the many, many fine private schools that exist on the East Coast of the United States that started in the, in between 1870 1975 and 1905 or thereabouts, which still exist. And who are they for? The children of the upper middle classes, the children of the upper middle classes. You're talking about tuitions in New York City, $50,000 a year for a day school. Green Meadow Waldorf School, $45,000 for a day school. Can you imagine that? Who's going to go there? Well, they say, we give very generous scholarships. You know, you could come here for half price, $22,500. Yeah, sure, that's pretty generous. So, but this is what all Waldorf schools would have been. This is what the first Waldorf school would have been, a school for the children of aristocrats and wealthy industrialists. And it probably would have been an incredible school. And the teachers would have had a swell time teaching the children because Steiner would have given them a wonderful curriculum and the children would have been, you know, a little snooty and spoiled, but basically okay. And nobody would have had an initiation possibility because of that. Why? Because the spiritual world was still pouring down on the earth. It was still possible. The gods were still present. They were still mixing in. And Steiner's teachings in those days were very different, much less demanding in a certain way, easier reading in a way, easier listening than what he was to give after the war. After the war, everything is an emergency situation. And the school is not there for the children of aristocrats, many of whose families don't exist anymore, many of whom have been exiled or who committed suicide because they saw the world around them crumbling. And the wealthy industrialists aren't so wealthy anymore. They're just getting by. For the children of workers, the Waldorf School would not have been a school for the children of workers had it been established earlier. And as I said, had it been established a month or two later, it would not have been established at all. You see the hand of destiny here. You know, I've talked a lot about discord, but here's the destiny part of the lecture title, that there is such destiny. 1919 was the only year that the political, economic, social chaos of the time could open up, as Leonard Cohen said, you know, everything has a crack. That's where the light gets in. And German society was totally cracked, totally broken down. And that's where the light of Waldorf education got in. And this opens the way then for Steiner to realize a school. It's not, as it were, just an esoteric gathering. We need schools that welcome everyone, the school of spiritual science, and then the revelation comes to him, the school of Michael. And that leads to the revelations, the endless revelations coming at lightning speed to be found in his longest and last great lecture cycle, Karmic Relationships. So, karma. Karma, because it's about pre-birth and death, and that death and pre-birth are essentially two sides of the same coin, and the path to them is two sides, two edges of the same sword. And again, when I'm going to give a lecture at a school or when I'm going to meet with the faculty, the administrator pulls me over and says, Eugene, no R word. Don't talk about reincarnation. You will freak people out. And I begin by saying, I'd like to begin by talking about reincarnation, which is actually really important. And this is what is most important in a way, to understand we are on a continuum with these children. When I meet that first grader for the first time, it's not the first time. It's just convention to say it's the first time we've met. When I meet the parents for the first time, that's definitely not the first time. We've got karma right now. With the children, the karma actually doesn't kick in fully till grade 6. But the parents and the teacher, that's the first set of karma. And that would be a whole other set of lectures. What Steiner said to the parents when he lectured to them, how he described Waldorf education, and what he said the teachers should say and could say and shouldn't say and so on. But there was no question for the parents that anthroposophy underlay this school. So we are paying the price today, especially of going public, which is a necessity, must be. Steiner spoke to public school teachers right away after starting the first Waldorf school. This is for everyone. The pedagogical section of the society is there to help education for everyone on earth, not just to help Waldorf school associations hold a conference. It's a much, much greater task. But we have to recognize the compromises we will continue to make and where we finally have to say no. This is no longer Waldorf education. Call it something else, do something else, but unless you're really understanding the teacher's path and the teacher's connection, it won't work.